Blog Talk Radio.
Get their names right here.
Okay, wait a minute. Y'all know I got to find it here. Well, anyway, Apostle James Pinkney this morning, and you fight on, you fight on, you fight on. And we're grateful this morning unto Almighty God for blessing us with such a wonderful, wonderful song, gospel, gospel. And we thank him today, and we're grateful unto him for Friday weekending. We thank him for it. He brought us all the way up until this present time. And we're grateful unto him. We thank him. We appreciate him. We know that there's none like him. And so we thank him this morning. We give glory and honor to him. Because this is a Friday we have never seen before. And we don't know what God is going to do throughout this day for us, his people. And so again and again and again, we can't tell him thank you enough. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Even bless us that we can endure trials. Yeah. Because our trials come to make us strong this morning. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you. We come before you thanking you this morning. Father, we thank you for another Friday morning. Thank you for another weekend. Thank you for another day. Oh, yeah. You didn't have to do it for us, but you did. And we're so thankful unto you. We're grateful unto you. We appreciate you this morning. And, Father, we love you. It was you who first loved us. And we thank you. Thank you for your love, your grace, your mercy, your kindness towards us, looking over our faults and yet meeting our needs, yet on our side in spite of us. We thank you that we can cast our cares upon you, for you cared for us. Father, if you be for us, you're more than the whole world against us. And we thank you this morning. Hallelujah. We thank you. We give you praise, all glory and honor. We can't give you enough because you've done so much. You've done for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. And we're grateful unto you today. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Can't say thank you enough. And Father, we come this morning thanking you again for the opportunity to come before you. We thank you that no matter where we are, we can talk to you. No matter where we are, you're there also. And so we thank you this day. This morning, bringing every caller and every listener before you, those coming through the archives and the podcast, asking today, Father, that you would bless your people, move for them in a mighty way today, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Friday, October 29, 2021. Father, move for your people today like you have never moved for us before. We need you. We can't make it without you. We need your strength. We need your help. We need your leadership. We need your guidance today, oh God. Do it for us in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, bless every caller and every listener. Bless those family members near and far. God, bless our friends. Bless the ministry, the work that you called and chose us for. Father, bless those that are on the job, those that have to go to the job. Bless today, oh God. Lift every burden this morning. Lift every yoke in the name of Jesus. And Father, we ask that, Lord, we would have a mind this day to obey you at any cost, to keep our minds on you. But Father, you'll keep us in perfect peace. And we need peace in our lives. We need happiness. We need joy. No matter what's going on, we know that you're able to do this for us if we can keep our mind on you, if we can remember you this day, and we have all power. There's no higher power. Father, you're able to do it for us. We come this morning asking, Father, that you would heal those that are sick today. I'm moved by your spirit and heal them this morning. Father, many are going through in their bodies. Lord, we ask that you would come in, that you send your healing power. You took a beating for the healing of the nation. And Father, there's yet healing in the hem of your garment. And we reach in this morning, taking the hem of your garment, Father, that you would make us whole. It's you that heal all manner of sickness and disease. Do it for us today in the name of Jesus. Father, fix our hearts and regulate our minds, for you know the very intent of our hearts today. Lord, fix anything in our hearts that shouldn't be. We ask this morning that, Father, you would take it out and clean us in the name of Jesus. Clean us up, oh God, that God, what's right will be in our hearts and minds in the name of Jesus. We thank you this morning. We thank you, Father. We thank you. Hallelujah. And Father, we ask that you would bless those that are incarcerated, those that are in every branch of the military. Father, we ask that you would bless widows, bereaved families, intercessory prayer people, preachers preaching in the name of Jesus, in obedience unto you and love for your people. Father, we ask this morning that you would bless Aaron, prophet Jerusalem, Lucia, protecting angels, to continue to stand watch, to shield and protect them, keep them from all common danger. Come by brothers and sisters everywhere overseas, oh God, everywhere, Lord. We ask that you would bless this morning and that you would look your miracles upon them this day. Bless their children, their families, oh God, wives, husbands, mothers and fathers, sisters and brothers this morning. Move for aunts, uncles and cousins in the name of Jesus. In-laws today, Father, move by your spirit and bless like never before in the name of Jesus. And Father, continue to bless America and the leadership. Have mercy this morning, oh God. And Father, we ask that whatever shouldn't be in leadership in this country, that Father, you would remove it. You would rebuke that devourer for our sake. That God, you would come in and fix it and bring it to the place it needs to be, the place that you designed it, the place that you want it to be. Have your way today, oh God, in America, in the name of Jesus. Forgive us for all our sins and wrongdoings. Father, we ask it this morning in the name of Jesus, and that, Lord, you would help us to look to the hills from which cometh our help. All of our help comes from you. You made the heavens and the earth. We ask this morning that you would show up in our leadership, show up in this country, and show out in the name of Jesus. Bless this segment of Jesus in the morning, Father. Have your way here today. Move by the Spirit. Feed us until we want no more. In the name of Jesus, we ask it all. Amen and hallelujah. Thank you this morning, Father. We thank you for hearing and we thank you for answering our prayers. We thank you for blessing us this day and showering down your miracles upon us. Oh, we thank you this morning. Have your way here. Move by your spirit today here, oh God, like you've never moved here before. In the name of Jesus, we know that you're able. There's nothing too hard for you to do. With you, all things are possible. Do it here this morning. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord. We thank you. Amen. Hallelujah. Unto you, Almighty God, thank you this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we thank you, Father. We thank you. We thank you this morning. There's none like him. Not only does he hear, but he answer. And not only that he have things that we never heard of before, he's loosened things that we never saw or heard of before unto us, because we're his people and he love us. This I got a disturbing message yesterday, and I tell you the truth. When God send you somebody, and he send you a special message about himself and what he wants to do for you, and he give you specific instructions for you, you got to pay attention to what he's saying. You must pay attention to what he's trying to do for you, because if not, you'll end up dead and you will die in your sins. And we know if you die in your sins, you have no part with him. And there's no excuse, because he keeps sending you, he keeps sending messages to you. And in a way, you keep combating the message. You're trying to talk to the person, the vessel that he's using, and convince the vessel that you know him and that you got him. But it's no need to convince the vessel. You got to come out. And you can't really convince him, because he already knows this is why he's sending a message to you. And let's not ignore his messages. Hallelujah. Let's try not to look at the vessel that he's using. Let's look to the hills from which comes our help. All of our help comes from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. Let's look to God, not the vessel. I don't care how good a preacher preached. I don't care who prophesied the best. Let's look to God and stop looking to man, because we'll lose our life and die in sin. And here we are home. We must be careful today. And don't be so quick to put your lips on people. You're putting your lips on the truth and following the enemy and don't even know it. Lord, have mercy this morning. You're following what makes you feel good, what sounds good to you, what you believe. And you're kicking what God says out because you don't like what they said and the way they brought it. And, oh, be careful, be careful, be careful. Yeah. God is no respecter of persons. And we never know how he's moving. He don't have to tell us his business. He's Almighty God who have all power. Our job is just to have faith and to trust him because he's only bringing good for us, nothing evil. Hallelujah. And so we thank you for this morning. And today I believe that we're going in. I got to find the message because I think I put it in today. And I have it already in. I just have so much going on. I'm trying to do quite a few things over here. And I tell you what, let's go to one more song of the morning. And when we come back, we'll come back with a speaker for today.
Righteous mane everywhere I go. You're gonna light my candle, son. You're gonna make it shine. You're gonna lead me to the throne.
I'm gonna testify.
I am a working man. I get things done. Work for the Holy Ghost. Work for the Son. I am a working man. Oh yes, I am. I am a special agent of the Lamb. Child, I was born in the north. I was born in the autumn time. Lord only knows what for. I was born when leaves turn red. Born when things are dying. But I was born with a big old mouth. I am a working man. I get things done. Work for the Holy Ghost. Work for the Son. I am a working man. Oh yes I am. I am a special agent of the Lamb. Thorn.
than just a radio. This is Jesus in the Morning Radio, spreading the good news of Jesus.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. New World Son this morning and working man. Hallelujah. They getting things done. Working for the Holy Ghost, working for the time. Working men, oh yes they are. Ah, special agents of the Lamb. Hallelujah, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. And so we're thankful again this morning unto him for who he is to us, what he has done, what he's doing right now, and what he's going to do. Great and mighty things for us, his people. Yeah, he loves us today. And if we look around over and over again, we'll see his love for us over and over and over again. There's none like him. And so we're thankful each and every day what he's doing for us. And I'm learning to pray, hallelujah, this prayer. Oh, yeah, got to get things done, hallelujah. We don't know the day nor the hour when he's returning. And we want to be ready when he comes. Yeah, we want to have everything prepared to go back to him when he comes. And I want to learn to do this, to pray, Lord, give me wisdom to teach as you would. Help me reach the lost. Yeah, those are my prayers. Listening to Evangelist Shuttlefield's TIFF yesterday. And I'm grateful for the message. And I don't want to forget God ever. And I want to get more in his word and pray more. Because no matter what we're doing, we can talk to the Lord. Yeah, I can watch TV and pray. I know people say she's crazy. Yeah, because we have a spirit man inside of us, and then we have this natural man. Yeah, and no matter what we're doing, we can work with our spiritual man while we're doing what we have to do for our everyday life, working on the job, cooking, cleaning, driving, whatever, seeing after children, we yet can pray to him. That's truly a blessing, what he has given unto his people. So listen, this morning I wanted to bring in this little clip before we bring our speaker of the morning. And today we're saying it's another Testify Friday weekend. Yeah, that's what we're saying today. And I found this message. I knew I had it. I just had to find out where it was. And it's by Pastor Trolin Morgan, and the name of this one is Seeing God in the Dark. Seeing God in the Dark. Hallelujah, what a message I believe it is. I didn't get a chance to really listen to it, but just the title excited me. Seeing God in the Dark. Hallelujah, because many of us have been in dark places and we didn't even know we was in the dark, and God shining out and we were able to comprehend. We was able to see the light of his son, Jesus, and we followed him. Hallelujah. Come out of darkness into this marvelous light. Oh, it's a marvelous light. Hallelujah. So we're grateful unto Almighty God this morning. And I just wanted to play this little bit for you. And then we're coming back with our guest speaker, Pastor Trolin Morgan. And the message is Seeing God in the Dark. So let's take a listen.
I'll preach as a dying man to dying men and women and youth. And I'll preach as though I will never preach again. And I will tell you things that you will misunderstand. And I will tell you things that make you so angry with me. And I'll tell you things that you will deny. Because if I correctly interpret this passage of Scripture that I'm going to give you, it is as though God were speaking through a man. And your problem will not be with me. It will be with God and his word. So the only question that really has to be decided here this afternoon is this man before us a false prophet, or is he telling us the truth? And if he is telling us the truth, then nothing else matters except conforming our lives to that truth. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, Jesus said, "Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but every bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then you will know them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' Then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" I stand here today. I'm not troubled in my heart about your self-esteem. I'm not troubled in my heart about whether or not you feel good about yourself, whether or not life is turning out like you want it to turn out, or whether or not your checkbook is balanced. There's only one thing that gave me a sleepless night. There's only one thing that troubled me all throughout the morning, and that is this. Within 100 years, a great majority of people in this building will possibly be in hell. And many who even profess Jesus Christ as Lord will spend an eternity in hell. What you need to know is that salvation is by faith, and faith alone in Jesus Christ. And faith alone in Jesus Christ is preceded and followed by repentance. A turning away from sin, a hatred for the things that God hates and a love for the things that God loves. A growing in holiness and a desire not to be like Britney Spears, not to be like the world, and not to be like the great majority of American Christians, but to be like Jesus Christ. I don't know why you're clapping. I'm talking about you. I didn't come here to get amens. I didn't come here to be applauded. I'm talking about you. You know what the Bible tells Christians to do? Examine yourself. Test yourself in light of Scripture to see if you are in the faith. The Bible says in the prophets that even our greatest works are like filthy rags before God. And because of that, you know what we deserve? The wrath of God. The holy hatred of God. You say, "Now wait a minute. God doesn't hate anybody. God is love." No, my friend, you need to understand something. Jesus Christ taught, the prophets taught, the apostles taught this, that apart from the grace of God revealed in Jesus Christ our Lord, the only thing left for you is the wrath, the fierce anger of God because of your rebellion and your sin. When I speak in universities, they're always quick to point out, no, God cannot hate because God is love. And I tell you, God must hate because God is love. You see, I love children, therefore I hate abortion. If I love that which is holy, I must hate that which is unholy. God is a holy God. That's something that the Americans have forgotten. Now listen to me. If you're saved here tonight, you're not saved because the Romans and Jews rejected Jesus. You're not saved because they put a crown of thorns on his head. You're not saved because they ran a spear through his side. And you're not saved even because they nailed him to a cross. Do you know why you're saved if you are saved? Because when Jesus Christ was hanging on that cross, he bore your sin, the sin of God's people, and all the fierce wrath of God that should fall upon you fell upon his only begotten Son. People say the cross is a sign of how much man is worth. That's not true. The cross is a sign of how depraved we really are, that it took the death of God's own Son, the only thing that could save a people like us. The death of God's own Son, under the wrath of His own Father, paying the price, rising again from the dead, powerful to save. This is the gospel of Jesus. Conversion is not like a flu shot. Oh, I did that. I repented. I believe. The question is, my friend, are you continuing to repent of sin? Are you continuing to believe? Because He who began a good work in you will finish it. The Bible never teaches that a person can be a genuine Christian and live in continuous carnality and wickedness and sin all the days of their life. But the Bible teaches that the genuine Christian has been given a new nature. The genuine Christian has a Father who loves them and disciplines them and watches over them and cares for them. Jesus indicates that one of the principal signs of being a genuine Christian is that you walk in the narrow way. Now, am I saying that a Christian is without sin? No, because in 1 John we learn that Christians do sin, and if any man does not acknowledge his sin, he knows not God. He's not walking in the light. So what is the difference? What am I really getting at? What am I getting at is this. If you are genuinely a born-again Christian, a child of God, you will walk in the way of righteousness as a style of life. And if you step off that path of righteousness, the Father will come for you. He will discipline you. He will put you back on that path. But if you profess to have gone through the narrow gate and yet you live in the broad way, just like all the other people in your high school, just like all the other people who are carnal and wicked, the Bible wants you to know that you should be terribly, terribly afraid. What we have forgotten to believe is that salvation is a supernatural work. And those who have genuinely been converted, regenerated by the power of the Holy Spirit is going to be a new creature. The Bible says if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. One of the greatest distinguishing marks of a false prophet is that he will always tell you what you want to hear. He will never rain on your parade. He will get you clapping. He will get you jumping. He will make you dizzy. He will keep you entertained. And he will present a Christianity to you that will make your church look like a Six Flags over Jesus. You will know them by their fruits. How do you know that you're saved? How do you truly know you are saved? Because someone told you? Because you prayed a prayer? Because you believe? So let me ask you a question. How do you know you believe? Because everybody says they believe. How do you know you're not like them? Do you know how the Bible teaches you that you know you are saved? You know you have to be saved because your life is in a process of being changed, and your style of life is one of walking in the paths of God's truth. And when you step off those paths in disobedience, as we all do, God comes for you and puts you back on the path. And what is the fruit that you're bearing? Do you look like the world, act like the world? Do you have and experience the same joys that the world experiences? Can you love sin and relish it? Can you love rebellion and relish it? Then you know not God. Let me take it a little further. Let's imagine that I show up late and I run up here on the platform. And all the leaders are angry with me. I said, Brother Paul, don't you appreciate the fact you're giving the opportunity to speak here and you come late? And I said, Brother, you have to forgive me. Well, why? Well, I was out here on the highway and I was driving and I had a flat tire and I got out to change the tire. And when I was changing the tire, the lug nut fell off. And I wasn't paying attention that I was on the highway and I ran out. And I grabbed the lug nut, and as soon as I picked it up in the middle of the highway, I stood up, and there was a 30-ton logging truck going 120 miles an hour about 10 yards in front of me, and it ran me over, and that's why I'm late. You would say, Brother Paul, it's absolutely absurd. It is impossible, Brother Paul, to have an encounter with something as large as a logging truck and not be changed? And then my question would be to you, what is larger, a logging truck or God? How is it that so many people today profess to have had an encounter with Jesus Christ and yet they are not permanently changed? You will know them by their fruit. And he says, anyone who does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. What is he talking about? My dear friend, he is talking about the judgment of Almighty God that will one day fall upon the world. That will one day fall, possibly upon you. Verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. He who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. This fellow who is making this profession, he is not someone who just all of a sudden decided it's judgment and I better profess him to be Lord. This is a person who emphatically declares to other people that Jesus Christ is Lord. He walks around saying Lord. He dances up in front while the musicians are playing saying Lord. He sings the songs Lord. But Jesus said to him, depart from me, I never knew you. There are many people who are going to profess Lord, Lord, but they are not going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. My dear, precious child, are you one of them? Look what it says. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. What is the sign that someone has become a genuine Christian? I wish that we would start teaching this again. What happened to our theology? What happened to our doctrine? What happened to our teaching? It went right out the window. No one wants to study doctrine anymore. They just want to listen to songs and read the back of Christian t-shirts. What happened to truth? Truth tells you this. The evidence, the way that you can have assurance that you are genuinely a born-again Christian is that you do, as a style of life, the will of the Father. You say, oh, you're talking about works. No, I'm not. I'm talking about evidence of faith. How do you know that that faith you have is not false? A style of life that is concerned about doing the will of the Father, that practices the will of the Father, and when you disobey the will of the Father, the Holy Spirit comes and reprimands you, either personally, through the written word of God, through a brother or sister in Christ, and God puts you back on the path again. If you can play around in sin, if you can love the world and love the things of the world, if you can always be involved in the world and doing things of the world, if your heroes are worldly people, if you want to look like them and act like them, if you practice the same things they practice, oh, my dear friend, listen to my voice. There's a good chance you know not God and you do not belong to him. Verse 22, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. You say the most important thing on the face of the earth is to know Jesus Christ. That is not true. The most important thing on the face of the earth is that Jesus Christ knows you. If I'm not going to get into the White House tomorrow because I walk up to the gate and tell everybody I know George Bush. But they will let me in if George Bush comes out and says, I know Paul Washington. You can profess to know Jesus, but my question for you, does Jesus know you? There are two ways. There's a narrow way and a broad way. Which one are you on? There are two types of trees. There is a good tree that bears good fruit, going to heaven. There's a bad tree, and you know it's bad because it bears bad fruit, it's going to hell. It's going to be cut down and thrown into the fire. There are those who profess Jesus as Lord, and they do the will of the Father who is in heaven. And there are those who profess Jesus Christ as Lord, and they do not do the will of the Father who is in heaven, and they go to hell. Not because of a lack of works, but because of a lack of faith demonstrated by the fact that they have no works. Let's get down. What does the Word of God say? How does your life stand in front of that blazing fire, which is the holiness of God? On that final day, beloved, precious little girl, beloved, precious young man, on that final day, will your confession hold true? You need to know. You need to say, okay, how am I supposed to live before my parents? Go into the Word, find out, obey it. How am I supposed to dress? Go into the Word, find out, and obey it. How am I supposed to talk? What am I supposed to listen to? bring every thought, word, and deed into subjection to Jesus Christ. I don't wish the same things your parents want for you. They want for you security and insurance and nice homes. They want for you cars and respect. I want for you the same thing I want for my son, that one day he takes a banner, the banner of Jesus Christ, and he places it on a hill where no one has ever placed the banner before, and he cries out, Jesus Christ is Lord, even if it costs my son his life. Oh, when he's 18 years old, if he says to me the same thing I said when I was a young man, I'm going into the mountains. I'm going into the jungle. And they say, you can't go there. You're insane. It's a war. You're going to die. I'm going. When that little boy puts on that backpack, I'm going to pray over him and say, go. Go. God be with you. And if you die, my son, I'll see you over there and I'll honor your death. Does your life honor Jesus Christ?
And it is there.
You are the Lego, let God have his way. You are the Lego, and let God have his way. You are the Lego, and let God have his way. You are the Lego, and let God have his way. Hey,
hey. You have been waiting a long time for God to bless you.
You are the Lego,
and let God have his way.
Hey, I feel like I'm a subtraction. Somebody up there.
is there that the Holy Spirit has highlighted for us this context of scripture beginning with verse number 27. Matthew chapter 9, verse number 27. Your Bible should read, "And when Jesus departed there, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, You son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus says unto them, Do you believe that I am able to do this? They said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith be it unto you. And their eyes were open, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country." I want to tag this text, Seeing God in the Dark. You may be seated in the Lord's church. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was once quoted as saying that faith is the first step you take even when you do not see the whole staircase. That quote, as it has been captured in the annals of human history, serves to share the connotation that faith is a courageous risk, that faith in its purest form is a means by which we have the motivation to do things that are on the borderline of courageous or insane. There's a fine line between that which is courageous and that which is insane. And it all depends on how we appropriate faith. But if we take another look at that statement, it not only welcomes this risky courage, but it also welcomes the element of blindness. That there is a dimension of faith that is invisible, that is not able to be seen, though it operates like it can see. Truth be told, ladies and gentlemen, what Dr. King quoted is actually another echo or another version of what the anonymous writer tells us in Hebrews chapter 11, that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen, the evidence of the invisible, which first of all tells us that the first object to which our faith ought to be applied is God. Because God is an invisible reality that is always in the present tense. But there again, if we look again at this application of faith, faith never works with all of the pieces present. As a matter of fact, faith doesn't even apply if you can see all the pieces. Faith, ladies and gentlemen, is most applicable when there are unanswered questions, unresolved concerns, and missing information. You don't need faith if all of your concerns are resolved, all the information you need to have is available, and all of your questions are answered. But when we really want to talk about executing and exercising faith, it is within the context of unanswered questions, missing information, and unresolved concerns. Simply put, ladies and gentlemen, you can only use faith when your senses cannot process it. You can't know it, see it, hear it, touch it, smell it, and therefore you cannot process it. Though faith tells you that there is some reality to that which your senses cannot know. And if you understand that, then that little brief theology about faith helps us backdoor into this passage, as the passage itself, ladies and gentlemen, gives us its own introduction. Sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, the scripture does not need our human creativity and prowess to be put to it. All we need to do is see the Bible as God's sermon notes and preach his notes and share his introduction. Can I tell you what the introduction of this passage is? And when he had departed, two blind men followed Jesus. You missed it. I'll try it again. Can I tell you what his introduction is? And when he had departed there, two blind men followed Jesus. I'm going to try it one more time for these people on this side. Can I tell you what his introduction is? And when he had departed, two blind men followed Jesus. If you're not being fake, phony, or casual about the passage, something should have bit you, pinched you. Something should have jumped out at you when you read two blind men. I'm going to try to talk to y'all over here. Followed Jesus. You shouldn't have skated past that one line. Something should have jumped out at you when you read that line, that two men who cannot see followed. Come on, church. That's the introduction of the whole passage right there. That backdoors us into this passage because we are automatically arrested by something in the passage that seems unreal. Blindness, ladies and gentlemen, is the inability to see. And they can't see. So if they can't see, they can't follow. And if they can't follow, they're not following Jesus. Or do they really know if they're following Jesus? If they can't see who they're following. I want to suggest an even bigger crisis in the line. The bigger crisis in the line is not two blind men follow Jesus. The bigger crisis in the line is, how did two blind men find each other? The problem is not how did they find Jesus. The problem is, if you can't see me, and I can't see you, how did we ever get together? Maybe I want to suggest, ladies and gentlemen, that the first evaluation of this passage demands for us to take an examination of our partnerships. Now the sensible reality of this passage is that somebody who can see knew these two men and knew their defect and knew that they would get along because they had a mutual defect in common. You see, ladies and gentlemen, you have to be very careful and cautious and cognizant who you hook up with, because your friend may be a revelation of what's wrong with you. I'm going to try it one more time. If two birds of a feather flock together, if you know good, it could be because your friends are no good. If you are blind, it could be because you got a blind partner and you link up together because you share something defective in common. Be very careful how you pick your associations, pick your friends, because they could reveal what's really wrong with you.
Now, here's the flip side of that coin. The flip side of that coin is, since we share a mutual defect, why don't we get together so that both of us can march to the same stride of a solution? Let me see if I can help you. The neighbor that is sitting next to you may not have your exact problem, but they got a problem like you got a problem. And if we all get together, and maybe we can help each other to solve each other's problems. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is where we can celebrate the path and pace and pulse of this blind partnership, because at least they are blind trying to follow Jesus. Well, Pastor Morgan, how did they get to Jesus? If you back up to verse 26, verse 26 says, when he had left that place being coming out of the house of Jairus and raising his daughter, the Bible says in verse 26, his fame was spread abroad into all that land. And when he had left that place, two blind men followed Jesus. I'll try it again. They got word that this carpenter from Galilee, who is God in flesh, has been in somebody's house giving life to a dead little girl, and his fame went abroad, and somehow their eyes became their ears, and their ears became their eyes, and they started walking, following a man they couldn't see, but they heard about how he affected somebody else's life. And because they heard about how he affected somebody else's life, they hooked up with somebody who could see Jesus. Lord have mercy. And say, if I can get to somebody who can see Jesus, then I'm going to follow Jesus. Can I snatch you off the pew and tell you, ladies and gentlemen, there are some people who are struggling with something that won't let them come to Jesus on their own. They're going to need for some of us to come out of the closet of our sanctuaries and testify of his goodness outside the sanctuary. Because if nobody who's been with Jesus talking about Jesus, then the folk who've never been with Jesus can't get to Jesus. Let me try it one more time. God can't be that good to you and you won't tell it. I'm going to try it again. I said, God can't be that good to you and you won't tell it. I need you to stop having an affair with Jesus and be open about your love for Jesus and tell it and testify, because there are some people who are not in your church right now are waiting on you to tell it so they can find Jesus. It shows us, church, the effectiveness of evangelism. There's a world out there full of blind people who are waiting on somebody who's seen and been with Jesus to say something about what he's done in your life, to testify and tell of his goodness. For a blind person, their ears have to be their eyes. And they've got to move, watch this, by what they heard. I'll try it one more time. I said they got to move by what they heard. They can't walk by sight. They got to walk by faith, and faith comes by hearing. I wish I had a Bible church in here. And hearing by the word of God. You don't always have to see it to follow it. If you hear it, it's worth following. I heard God was blessing you. Well, take me to him. I heard God gave you a promotion. Well, show me where he's at. I heard God healed your body when the doctors said one thing. God stepped in and did something else. Show me that healer from Nazarene. I heard God saved your soul. Well, I need saving too. And I need the saints of God to stop being selfish with God and start telling of his goodness. Because there are some blind people who need to move by what they hear from you. Two blind men followed Jesus. Might I say here, when we do our proper synoptic study of the scripture, you will discover that this is just one of many isolated events where Jesus encountered blind people. And this record and this encounter is exclusive to Matthew's gospel. This is not blind Bartimaeus. This is not the blind man in Matthew chapter 20. This is an exclusive event, one of many, in which Jesus encountered two blind men, of which only Matthew records this event. And they are walking together. Watch this. Watch this. And they declare, listen to what they said. We cannot see, but our inability to see does not impede our theology. Listen to what they said. When they discerned, felt, or was informed that they were in Jesus' presence, they said, you son of David, have mercy on us. I'm going to try it again. If you've never seen Jesus, how do you know what to call it? I'm going to try it one more time. You don't want to help me preach it. If you've never seen him, never met him, how do you know what to call him? Apparently, these blind men, y'all, have been to the rabbinical schools of Judaism because this is his messianic title. And somewhere down the line, they learned and was taught that the Messiah was coming. And they believe, watch this, he had come though they didn't see him. Can I tell you the indictment? Some people with sight didn't call him the Son of God. But folk who didn't see him and didn't even know he was there gave him the right title. Be very careful, because sometimes it's people with sight that are blind. Who you think is blind is not really blind. We know who's blind in the text, but the truth is, who is it that can't see? See, you can't assume that just because people don't have something working like you got working, that they don't know the word of God. They demonstrated that somewhere along the line, we learned that he was coming. And we believe that is him. And here is the tension of this text. They're blind. They ask for mercy. Y'all gonna think I'm making this up, but read the text. They're blind. It's two of them who have a mutual defect. They have identified him properly. They ask for mercy, and Jesus does not respond. I'll try it again. They're blind. They ask for mercy, and Jesus doesn't respond. If y'all read the Bible, he makes them walk further until he gets in a house. And when he gets in the house, then he responds to them. You missed it. We don't know the distance between the question and his response. All we know is they followed him wherever he was going, which means before he gives you sight, he makes you walk with him blind. Lord, I wish I had some folk around here. See, when you really want to have some faith with God, God will make you wait and walk with no word. Preach, Tolan Morgan. The lie you want us to believe is that when you go down on your knees in prayer, God answers all of your questions, all of your answers when you ask him. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Because when God really wants to mature you, he'll make you walk and wait with no answers, with no questions, with no response, and it'll seem unfair. Let me see who really saved in here. I'm not talking to all of y'all, because I don't know where some of y'all at in your walk with God. But let me see who really saved in here. You have never had to trust God until you've had to wait on God.
All right.
You have never had to really trust God until God made you walk and wait with no word. I knew you weren't going to say nothing on that. Because the good church saints want to act like that every time you talk to God. God responds when you want him to respond. No, he does not. Sometimes God will make you wait. Because he's trying to mature your faith. Because he can never get your faith matured if he is your servant and he does everything you want him to do. Sometimes God got to make you wait so your faith can grow up. And here's the good news. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. They shall walk and not faint. Tell your neighbor, it's worth the wait. Count it all joy when you fall in the diverse temptations, knowing that the trying of your faith, come on, help me preach it, works patience. Whenever God doesn't answer your prayer, he's trying your faith so that your patience will mature. The real truth is, sometimes God makes you wait while you walk with him and can't see. I'm going to shout myself in a minute. I said, God will make you wait and walk when you don't even know where you're going. You don't know where he's taking you. And some days you don't even know if he even heard you. Walking with God at times is a blind walk. I'm trying to talk to you, but you don't want to get happy. I said walking with God at times is a blind walk. I hear his voice, but I don't know where he leading me. They told me he around here somewhere. He won't answer me. He just want me to follow him. And I don't even know where I'm going. See, you've never had to really trust God until you've been following God and don't know where God is taking you. Missing information. Unresolved concerns. And unanswered questions. I can't give you sight until you learn how to walk with me while blind. And here's where it gets worse. Y'all ain't gonna like this, but it's in the text. I don't have no cliches and a whole bunch of stories for you. All I got is the Bible. The text says, he gets in the house, and Matthew does not disclose the address or the owner of the house. For all intents and purposes, This is an unknown location. This is an undisclosed residence. Jesus apparently knows where he's going, but the blind men don't, and neither does anybody else following Jesus. He gets into a house that nobody knows. It's unfamiliar and it's unknown. Watch this, y'all. And then he asked them, do you believe I can do it? I'm going to try it again. You missed it. Jesus waited to put them in an unfamiliar place to question their belief. You missed it. They're blind. He put a blind people in an unfamiliar house and then asked them, do they believe? Okay, you've never been blind, so I ain't talking to none of y'all. But let me tell you something about a blind man. The worst thing you can do to a blind man is rearrange his furniture. The worst thing you can do to a blind person is put them somewhere where they don't know where stuff is at. Because as long as a blind person knows where stuff is, they can maneuver when they can't see. You missed it. Blind people need things to stay the same. Slow on that side. Let me talk to these people. I said blind people need everything to stay the same. Don't change the order of service. Don't change how we worship. Don't change the name. Don't change nothing. Just keep everything where it's at because I'm blind. But when you're ready for change, God got to rearrange your furniture. He got to put you in a place that you not only see, but you can't control. You can't dictate. You can't anticipate. You don't know what's going to happen because you've now got to feel your way through. Can I tell you that's what faith is? Faith is feeling your way through because you don't know where God got you at. Come on. Do I got anybody in here who knows that's where you are in your life? You ain't trying to impress the saints. You just trying to feel your way through because God has rearranged your furniture. And the problem is he'll rearrange your furniture while blind. I'm not going to ever question your faith in your comfort zone. I'm going to wait till I put you in a new job.
All right.
Put you in a new church. Give you some new responsibilities. Or give you a new problem that you've never had before and don't know how you're going to fix it. And then I'm going to ask you, do you believe? I wish I had a praying church. Y'all making me work too hard, so I'll shout myself. Sometimes I'm trying to tell you that whenever God wants to mature your faith, he doesn't give you sight. He keeps you blind and puts you in a strange place. And then say, do you believe I am able to do it? Man, this seems heartless of Jesus. No, it's heartless. Because they following you, and you see that they can't see you. They're following you, and you can see that you are frustrating their walk with you. You miss it, so I'm going to give it to you one more again. We ask for mercy and you're acting merciless. We ask for mercy and you're further frustrating and complicating our defect. We can't see you. We don't know where you're going. Some days it feel like it may not even be you. And then you lead me into a place I can't see that I've never been before. I asked you for mercy. And it looks like you are giving me penalty instead of mercy. And the question now is, did Jesus' plan work? Y'all got the Bible? Get the Bible so you won't think I'm lying. The question is, did Jesus' plan work? That's the question. Did his plan work? That's the question. Did Jesus' treatment of these blind men work? Anybody interested in the answer?
Yes, sir.
Jesus asked them, do you believe I'm able to do it? Their answer was, yes, Lord. Okay, you missed it. They did not say, yes, son of David. They said, yes, Lord. That proved that Jesus' plan worked. Because the strategy I've been putting you under has caused you to elevate your view of me from son of David to Lord. Because son of David is my kingly title. But Lord is my God title. And if you believe I'm going to do this, you can't just see me as a king. You got to see me as a Lord. Because a king got mercy, but a Lord got miracles. Preach, Solon Morgan. Can I touch somebody and tell you, when you elevate your view of God, that's when the miraculous is getting ready to happen. And you elevated your view even when you didn't see me. Because the only thing I was trying to get you to is a yes, Lord. Ooh, I wish I was in a sanctified church. They would have started running right there. Can I tell your neighbor, only thing God trying to get is another yes out of you? Is there anybody here got another yes for Jesus? I don't have all the money I want. Yes, Lord. I'm not in the best of health. Yes, Lord. I'm not in a place where I need to be in my life. But despite the devil, I'm going to give you another yes. Somebody shout yes, Lord. Would you just grab one neighbor by the hand and tell him, neighbor, God wants another yes out of you? Oh, you still ain't told him yes tonight. I said God wants another yes out of you. He's made you walk unto your yes. He's changed your environment so you can say yes. Is it anybody that will make the devil mad and let the devil know that despite my difficulties, I have not given up on the Lord and I still tell him yes? Y'all missed it. Here it is. This it. Tell your neighbor, this the point. Tell them this it. The next verse says, and he touched their eyes, and their eyes were open. Man, y'all making me work too hard. He touched their eyes after they said yes.
Preach, man, preach.
I'm going to try it one more again because you missed it. After the yes came the supernatural move that I'm not going to give you a yes after you bless me. I'm going to give you a yes before you ever do it.
Because if you never do it, you deserve a yes. And I need to be Lord over your life before I get a, before you get another miracle out of me.
Let me ask you a question. What if, the next miracle in your life was contingent on the next praise you give God? What kind of praise would you give God? What kind of yes would you give God if the next yes out of your mouth was contingent upon the next blessing you get from God? Is that all y'all got for God? Is that all you got for God? You don't know what's on the other side of your yes if you give it to him when you can't see him. Somebody take the next 20 seconds and just tell God yes. Take the next 10 seconds and tell him, yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Despite my depression, despite my downtroddenness, yes, Lord. Because when you tell him yes, he just may touch what's not working in your life. And he touched their eyes. Lord, I wish I had a church in here. When Jesus sees what is working, he'll touch what ain't working.
Hallelujah.
I'm done. How you doing, bud? Good to see you. I'm quitting. I'm quitting. Pastor, watch this point.
Yes, sir.
This point gonna run me out of here. They got their sight, y'all. And Jesus says something silly and unreasonable. Jesus says, now that you have your sight, don't go tell nobody. I didn't make that up. It's in verse 31.
All right.
I'm a Bible preacher. Look at the text. Now that you got your sight, don't go tell nobody. Okay, so Jesus, let me get this right. You gave me my sight, but now you want me to walk around like I'm blind. If you didn't want me to tell it, you want me to walk around, keep my eyes. The text says, and their eyes was open. So I ain't got to tell it. It's some things you ain't got to brag about. It's some stuff that when God get done touching you, everybody gonna see it. Your mama gonna see it. Your daddy gonna see it. Your hater gonna see it. Your enemy gonna see it. Everybody gonna see it. But the problem is, y'all, the problem is, Pastor, they disobey Jesus. Because verse 31 says they put it in the Buffalo newspaper, Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, Facebook. They went and told everybody. Now stop trying to spiritualize the text. They disobeyed Jesus. This is what theologians refer to as the messianic secret, that he didn't want it told until after he had died and been resurrected from the grave, because he wanted to actually minimize his crowds. But the miracles wouldn't shut up. Lord, I wish I had him helping here. See, sometimes your miracle got a voice that you don't even have to have. I wish I had some help around here. The miracle wouldn't be quiet, and they went and told
everybody. Y'all missed it. They went and did to others what happened to them in verse 26. They got to Jesus because everybody told it. Now it's their turn to go tell it. They going to go tell it because they believe that now that Jesus has touched them, it's somebody else out there that he may need to touch. The problem is they disobeyed Jesus. Pastor, your question to me is, Brother Minister, how do we get out of this?
Yes, sir.
Because the context ends in disobedience.
Yes, sir.
It begins in blindness and ends in disobedience.
My God.
Brother Minister, how you going to get out of this? Thank you for asking. Y'all ready? They were disobedient. Even after getting their miracle, and we have no record that their miracle retracted and that they went back blind. God let them keep their miracle even after they disobeyed him, because at the beginning of the text they asked for mercy. You see, ladies and gentlemen, God didn't ignore them at the front of the text. He just took the mercy on the front end and put it on the back end where they really needed it. Talk to your neighbor and tell your neighbor, neighbor, he heard you when you asked him. He just don't know where to put it in your life. Anybody in here living off of mercy? Okay, you won't tell the truth. Grace let you have what you don't deserve. Ooh, ooh, ooh. But mercy gives you and keeps back what you do deserve. Tell your neighbor, neighbor, I got mercy on my life. Because I should have been dead, Lord, a long time ago. But mercy is active in my life. You don't believe me. So grab your neighbor by the hand and tell him, neighbor, when I woke up this morning, I woke up to mercy. When I go to sleep tonight, won't be no more mercy. But in the morning, when I wake up again, it's going to be a new mercy. It is by his mercies I am not consumed. But morning, ooh, by morning, new Lord, mercies I see. Anybody here got a mercy on your life? Then put your arm around somebody and tell them, neighbor, I got to praise in the night because I got mercy on my life. The truth be told, you done ran out of grace a long time ago, but mercy is on your life. Now I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Anybody here got mercy on your life? If you got mercy on your life, you ought to thank him that he died that you might live. That was an act of mercy. He stayed dead so you wouldn't be dead. That was an act of mercy. But Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hand. That was an act of mercy. And 50 days later, he sends the Holy Ghost to live inside of you. That was an act of mercy. And you messed up even after you got saved, but he still woke you up. You've messed up and fallen into sin, but he didn't retract your miracle. He lets you keep your house when you wasn't doing right. Let you keep your car when you wasn't doing right. Let you keep your mind when you wasn't doing right. Anybody here happy about the mercy on your life, then grab your neighbor by the hand and tell them, neighbor, I gotta give God a thank you, Jesus, for the mercy that is on my life. Your neighbor still didn't get it. Tell them, neighbor, this a good place for a yes, Lord. Anybody here got a yes, Lord, in your spirit? Anybody here got a yes, Lord, in your spirit? Say yeah. Yeah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, what a message today. Pastor Tolan Morgan, send God in the dark. I did not listen to this entire message. As a matter of fact, I didn't listen to any of it. But that text just called me, seeing God in the dark. Yeah, that caught me. And he give us that, Sister Jerry, brand new grace and new mercy. Every day, I believe he renews his love for us daily because we need a new thing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Mississippi Mass Choir with Frank leading it says, your grace and mercy. Woo! Your grace and your mercy. For me, most of all, his love, because that love is what calls him to give grace and to give mercy. And many times we don't even know. It's a prayer. Lord, have mercy. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. He told them, don't tell nobody. Go. And don't tell nobody. Say nothing. They couldn't hold it like many of us. But we can't hold it. I'm one of them. I'm raising my hand right now because I am one of them who can't hold it. Look, he did it for me. I'm always trying to encourage someone to know he'll do it for you. If he did it for me, he's no respecter of persons. He healed my body. I got to tell somebody. Yeah, he blessed me. I didn't have three pennies in my pocket, and I went to the mailbox, and all of a sudden, that was $1,000 check. I got to tell somebody. I can't hold it. Because I want you to know, if he did it for me, he'll do it for you. But sometimes we move too quick. We tell what we're not supposed to tell. Although it's glory unto him, he said, tell nobody, don't tell nobody. Because if you tell somebody, you're disobedient. He's told me things to say and things not to say. Don't say that. Don't tell them. I'm showing this to you. And I begin to pray. Yeah, because it's not the time for no one to know. See, because the way he was, he had to prove to you, and it was proof to him that you believed, that you had faith, that you could trust him. You heard what he said. Said many times God will we will ask God for stuff, we don't hear nothing. Somebody come up with this, that his delay is not his denial. How many have heard that? Many times I've asked stuff God did not move in so long, I forgot I prayed for it. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? And when he show up now, he shows out when he show up. For many days I'm looking, because, and then he will remind me of this, and he'll take me back to the prayer that I prayed for that. But it's months later, it's years later. Because what he wants to do with us, when he don't answer right away, he's building your faith and your patience. Two things I know you gotta, well, three things I'm going to say you gotta have with God. You must have patience. You must have faith. And you have to trust him. I'm going to go back over these things in this order. You must have faith. You must trust him. And you have to have patience, because you gotta wait on him. And as he said, the preacher said, always answer every prayer like this, quick, fast, and in a hurry. Boom, boom, boom. No, no, no. Many testimonies you've heard me get, he didn't move overnight on that. I had to wait. The songwriter said, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount. Up with wings like an eagle, they shall run and never faint. This is what he said. I need you to teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord. Teach me, Jesus. Teach me how to wait. In my early morning, you heard what he said. They that wait upon the Lord. And then at the ending of the song, he asked God to teach him how to wait. Faith, trust, and patience. We got to have them three things with God. If you don't have faith, trust, and patience, I don't know for you. Because he don't always move. But one thing about him, he's always on time. Hey, glory to his majesty. He's always on time. He's never late. I promise you that. He's not the booger man. He's not doing it to punish you. He's doing it to teach you what will bless you with years and years and years to come. He's doing that to bless you so that you can get to know him. Because our ways are not his ways, and our thoughts are not his thoughts. As high as the earth is from the sky, that's how far off we are with thinking the way that he thinks. They're doing things the way that he does. All glory to his majesty. He's that way. Upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like an eagle. They shall run and never faint. I need you to teach me, Lord. Teach me, Jesus. Teach me how to wait. Teach me today, Lord. Strengthen me and teach me how to wait on the Spirit of the Lord moving. Teach me how to wait on you. Oh, yeah, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. But there are going to be some situations that come our way that we can't change. We can't fix it. We can't undo it. But learn to trust God and wait on him. He'll come and he'll fix it. Sometimes look like that thing just turned in your head some days. You're like, Lord, have mercy. Jesus. I had a situation last weekend with my granddaughter, and y'all know I love that Cobrisha. Love Cobrisha ever since she was a three-month-old baby. I laid eyes on her. Well, she was younger than that, you know. At 3 months, that's when I really started keeping on dealing with her and pinching her cheeks and all that kind of thing. And today, Cobrisha is 13 years old. Things, and all I could say is this, Lord, have mercy. That's all I could say. That's all I could pray. And I had to let it go and give Cobrisha back completely to the Lord. And walk away. Walk away. And right after I did it, I was full of joy, happiness, peace, calm. The mama called me to check on me because she know I love Kobisha, and she know I was disturbed by some things. The mama called me to check on me. So I'm good. She know I'm good. I prayed and let it go. See, I got to wait on him. I told him what I wanted for her. At 13, he may not do it until she's 30. I may be dead and gone, but he's going to do it in his perfect timing. And this is what we got to learn. Wait on God. And if he say nothing, shut your mouth. I've had that Shantae, for instance. I said, Shantae, so-and-so and so-and. She said, Mama, the Lord said it. I said, yeah. Mama, tell me. I can't. He said, don't tell me. I got to shut up. I can't say no more. He just wanted to do this part right here. It's coming. I can't. He told you when? Yep. Mama, when? I can't tell you that part. I told to tell you it's coming, Shantae, but I can't tell you when and how. Mama, he showed you how. Yeah. He said, don't say it. I can't say it. Oh, Mama, yeah, I know. What we need to do now, Shantae, is begin to praise him. Because the more we praise him, the quicker it'll come. The more we bless him, the more he's going to bless us. And the time is going to get shorter and shorter until it's quick. Oh, I enjoyed that message this morning. I enjoyed his cooking today. That was a great meal for me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Because, see, I know a lot of times we know all of this stuff. And we're running up the King's highway. We on that straight and narrow that's leading to him. But we have to go back to the old path and look around. This was one of them going back to the old path. Around situations, and he didn't bring it in a way where I had heard it before. He brought it in a different kind of way to me today, but it caused me to go back to the old path, take a look around. Shall be light in the evening time. Oh, I feel all right. The path to glory, hey, you will surely ride. Oh, through the waterways, he is the light today, buried in hallelujah, his precious name. Both young and old, repent of all your sins. The Holy Ghost shall surely enter in. The evening time has come. Hallelujah. It is a fact that God in Christ, they're one. It is a fact that God in Christ, they're one. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, His Majesty. We thank you. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for your many blessings. Thank you for your miracles today, oh God. Thank you for what you're doing for your people here right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. You sent your word to heal. Hallelujah. Today, oh God. And sanctify us through that truth this morning, Father. For that word is truth. Help us, Lord, to remember. Trust and patience. Help us to remember when you say nothing, to be quiet. Help us today, Father. Help us to trust you with our whole heart. All of it. And lean not to our own understanding. And all our ways, help us to acknowledge you. Father, you're going to direct our path. Help us not to be wise in our own eyes. Fear you, Father. Fear you and depart from evil. In the name of Jesus, we ask this morning. Father, we are yours and you are ours and you're all we have in this hour. And without you, we can't make it. And Father, you may have blessed me with many different things, but yet without you, we can't make it. We can have the house on the hill with the dog named Fluffy. We can have the new car or whatever. But without you, we yet can't make. Father, a house can't heal me. A house can't make my path. Neither can a car. my bank account. None of that can direct my path. Only you can. And I must acknowledge you in all my ways. Hallelujah. Help us today. Open our spiritual eyes so we can see. Open our spiritual ears so we can hear what you, Almighty God, who have all power, through his Son, Jesus Christ, have to say unto the church. Help us this morning. We need you. We can't make it without you. Oh, we love you today, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to his majesty. We thank you right now for what you're doing right now for your people. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, there's none like him. We can search all over. We won't find nobody. Nobody greater than Almighty God. Hallelujah. Good morning. My 708, I see you down there this morning. Hallelujah. Good morning to you, my Nikki. Obedient, obedient. Thank you for coming this morning, Nikki. Yeah. God has some miracles and blessings with your name on it. Just step out by feet and don't move. Hallelujah. I even see the Spirit of the Lord moving for you today, Nikki. If you can lift your hands and tell him thank you. And the more you praise him, Nikki, the quicker he's going to move for you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Nikki is a good daughter. Hallelujah. Unto me has blessed me and baked me cakes like you have no taste. I got away from the pound cakes and had to kind of get away from Nikki. Because Nikki will feed me until I want no more. Anything I want to eat, you hear me? Nikki will feed me. And them five flavor pound cakes, Lord have mercy. Nikki had me Horton pound cakes, hiding it, cutting it up, sticking it in the freezer. Oh my God, I got to get away from this. I got to get this weight off of me because I'm getting the weight off and the knees feel much better. And I'm walking much better. Yeah, doing more. Hallelujah. But that Nikki take good care of me with that food department. And I loved it. And some days she come over and cook. And it's her turn to cook now. I'm not cooking no more until Nikki come and cook me some turkey wings. Now, once she cook them turkey wings, I'll cook something. Yeah. But good morning to you, Sister Dorothy Goodman and Sister Mary Ann. Good morning to you, Sister Simone and Sister Melody Rose, Sister Rose Brown, Sister Angela in California, Sister Lauren, Mr. Mason, and Miss Deborah. Good morning to you, God, baby. God bless you. And I want to know about the niece, Laura. Send me something and tell me how the niece is doing. Yeah, I want to know. Did you say turkey? Well, I sure did, Brother Mike. I sure did. But Mike, you say turkey? Well, I can have them, Brother Mike. It depends on what Nikki going to put in them now. Yeah, she going to have to cook them lightweight for me. Yes, I can have them. Good morning to your Sister Alexis. And good morning to your Sister Lachelle, Sister Andrea Spinner, Sister Andrea, I know, but we're going to get back together and ride it on out, Sister. Good morning to you, Sister Andrea in Philadelphia, Sister Keisha, Sister Rita, Sister Cr, Sister Diane, bless your heart, Sister Diane, and Sister Jerry, Sister Angela Foot, Mama, Sister Anna Lee Foot. Good morning to you, Mama. God bless you this morning. And Angela, I want you to tell Mama to listen now so she can hear her name call and she can hear what I got to say to her. Yeah. And so we thank God this morning. Good morning to you, Sister Michelle, Sister Patricia Fluker, Sister Kim Hawks. Good morning, Kim. I played your song. I'll play it this morning again for you, Kim. You know, we like that kind of song. And good morning to you, Sister Lisa, Sister Yvonne, and to our own Apostle Claudia Boatwright this morning. Good morning to you, Apostle. God bless you. I got my devotion right over here. Don't you worry. I'm keeping up with mine. Hallelujah. Good morning to you again, the main man holding the chat room down. Brother Lewis, Good morning, Brother Louis. Good morning, Brother Jermaine and Brother Anthony and Brother D, Brother Dan, Brother Mike in Orlando. Good morning to you, Brother George West Perry. He was with us yesterday in the chat room. I love to see Brother Perry come in. It's a blessing. And good morning to you, Brother Lee Hamilton, Brother Justin Gilmore, Brother Frank, and Brother Quiz Griffin. And looking back over, that was the roll call. I pulled it out this morning to listen to look at it so I wouldn't make so many mistakes. And I hope I didn't leave anyone out today. Hope I called every name that I could call. And I'm going back up here and look. And Sister Dorothy and I was talking. Brother Anthony, good morning to you, sir. Hope I didn't leave out. I know I called Rita, Sister Simone. I know I called her and Brother Jerry, Sister Jerry. Sister Dorothy was telling me this morning I overslept. I said, look here, she must not know. I heard the alarm go off. I thought I was dreaming. I thought I was dreaming. And I kept laying there and it kept going off, getting louder and louder. And I opened my eyes. And when I looked down at my phone, it was winking and blanking and going. I said, this is reality. It's just the real alarm. You got to get up. But I thank God he gave me getting up power. And I'm not, I can feel it that I need a little sleep, but I'm not so sluggish and, you know, that I'm grouchy or I can't get up and do things. Yeah, no. He has blessed me. And I remember the time when I could get like 15 minutes worth of sleep and get back up and run all, a marathon, look like all day. Yeah. But as you get older, rest is required. And I was taught this, if you don't get that rest, Alzheimer's and a bunch of other, what this other one is, Alzheimer's and dementia, I think those are the ones they told me. You will start experiencing those things because you didn't get enough rest or you're not getting enough rest in your older days. So I'm trying to make sure I get me a nap. I'm trying to make sure I go to bed, you know, early, and I may get back up now, but I try to go to bed early enough to get back up, then go back to bed again. Yeah, because I need my rest. I need my rest, yeah. So we're thankful this morning. I kind of got off to somewhat of a slow start today. It was like I wasn't focused. I knew after prayer, I knew God would stretch out. You know, I knew he would do something. And I'm thankful for that message again today. Seeing God in the dark. Hallelujah. I got to listen to that one more time. Yeah, I was blessed. I was blessed by Evangelist Tiff Shuttleworth. And this is what it's all about, is to be blessed. We want the word of God to bless us. And we want to remember the word of God. I want to remember what his word says. And I want to activate it daily in my life, daily, not sometimes, but every day. Hallelujah. And so I am thankful. Oh, I was looking for some eyewash, and I found the artificial tears, and it's expired. So I'm about to go get a new bottle out of the bar. But listen, we're moving right along this morning, and this is Testify Friday, and the studio is open for anyone who have a testimony this morning. Feel free to press that number one and come in. And don't think this, well, if I come in, I'm going to take up too much time, or I'm going to let Jerry go because she talked longer than I talk. Now, press that number one today and come in and say something on behalf of Almighty God. What has he done for you this week? You ain't got to tell all your personal business. Yeah, a lot of people think a testimony is telling all their personal business. Well, I had a traffic ticket and I couldn't pay it and God paid it. No, you ain't got to come with that. You can tell something as simply as he woke me up every day this week until this present time. God has blessed me to be here every day. You can say something as simple as, I thank God that I see him daily. I see the stars at night. I see the moon. In the mornings, I see the daylight. I see the sunshine. I see when it's cloudy. I see when it's raining. Something as simple as that. Because we want to give him something. He's so worthy. And we don't want to sit back appearing to be ashamed of him. I'm scared to say something. Why? You're not talking about people. You're talking about your maker. You're talking about the one who made the heavens and the earth and you too. You're talking about the one who's been there for you all in the midnight hour. Even came in the midnight hour and turned your darkness into day. Why can't we talk his wondrous works? Why can't we make known his deeds among the people? You might just want to say good morning. You may just want to say, I just want to say good morning to your heavenly Father. And that's it. Somebody's going to poke you or ponder you to say nothing more than what you want to say because he's been good to us. Listen, I'm going to this one. Matter of fact, Kim Hopps, I'm going to dedicate this one to you, and I'm going to it right.
Light. from a gun, charging light on you.
The kind of radio you need. Yes, Jesus in the Morning Radio. Bold radio for real people.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, bold radio. Yeah, I just got to say what I got to say this morning and every day. And whether people, you know, can receive it, like it, don't like it, however it go. You know, I want to bless the Lord, and I'm on his side today because he's on mine. And I'm grateful unto him. Okay, Sister Jerry, I am coming at you right now. Good morning. God bless you.
Good morning, Sister Barbara. God bless you. How are you?
Good. Good.
God is good. Today, I just want to say thank you, Jesus, for new mercy. Thank you, Jesus, for turning me around. Oh, God, I thank you, because I've been down the wrong road, and I'm supposed to have been able to see, but I tell you, being able to see is one thing, but being blind is another.
Man.
But I'm so glad the Son of David had mercy on me. My God, he had mercy on me. And even though there are many people have done so many things, it's been so wrong to me. My God has still gave me new mercy. Every day I get new mercy, Barbara. That situation I was telling you about yesterday is still out there, and that's okay. Because all that did was show me that God was showing me something. And all I need to do is just say, God, have mercy on them. Don't get angry. Ask God to have mercy on them. Because it's going to be all right.
Mm-hmm.
It's already all right in Jesus' name. So I thank you, God. Thank you for new mercy. Thank you for a new beginning. Thank you that where I'm at is just where I'm at for the moment. Because in the Word it says, it won't always be like this. Thank you, Lord. I just need to learn how to be still and know that you're God. And I'm going to take everything out of my hands and just leave it in Jesus' hands. But I truly thank God for the new mercy this day. Thank you, my, thank you, my, thank you. So thank you, Sister Barbara. And I thank God for being the author and the finisher of my faith. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank
Jesus.
You. And I yes, thank God that he has taught me how not to value money. I mean, you know, I value it, but don't worship it. That's what I mean. I don't worship it to the point that I'm going to get violent. Oh, God, I thank you. Hallelujah. People may know my situation, but if they think they're getting over on me, it makes them so happy. Lord, I thank you that they're not getting over on me, God. I'll tell anybody in the world, you're not taking from me. You can't take from me because everything I have belongs to God. So keep on doing what you're doing because God is truly got my back. As people say, oh, girl, don't worry, I got your back. Oh, yeah, right. Time trouble come, I look around and my back is so uncovered. I'm getting blowed up. I'm like, well, where were you? I had your back. You didn't see me run. You were supposed to run, too. Oh, that's how I have to get back work. Okay. I got it now. Okay. Told you I had your back. I look around, you go. Oh, that's how you have my back? Didn't you see me run, Terry? You were supposed to run, too. Oh, okay. Man will lead and deceive, but God got your back. The only one I ever seen have my back is Jesus. So, Father, keep having mercy on me. And never leave me, Jesus. Because I can't run as fast as my partners be running. When they got my back, I look around and they're ghosts, and I'm just standing there. Oh, oh, oh. Okay, I'm caught. Okay. Hi there, Mr. Policeman. Sarah had my back. He said, well, who is Sarah? I don't know if she gone. God, I can say I have my back, and I look, then all my troubles are gone. The Lord, keep having my back, having my front, my side, and blessing me from the crown of my head to the sole of my feet. In Jesus' name, amen.
Man.
And that's all I want to say today, Barbara. Having my back. I heard what the pastor said. Trust God. Son of David, have mercy on me.
Yes.
Man,
yes.
That's good.
We thank you today because he's able to see us through over again. And we know that he's faithful. He's on our side. He won't leave us nor forsake us. He said he would be with us until the end. And so we thank him this morning. And without him, we can do absolutely nothing. So we keep on keeping on in Jesus. Yeah. He's the author and finisher of our faith. Yes. And we love him today. Yeah. I'm telling you, we can't make it. We need him. We need him. We need him. Yeah. We need him this day. And we're thankful unto him. So listen, is there anyone else have something you would like to say today? Please feel free to press that number one and come in. I didn't go and find any testimonies online today. I thought we'd just do it. Good morning. All right, God bless you. God bless you. All right, Brother Anthony, I'm coming at you right now. I know you've been busy for the last couple of days. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Miss Barbara Bliss. How the favor? Oh, just to God for waking up this morning. Thank you for life, health, strength, keeping my right mind, allowing me to see another day I never seen before. And I thank God for just who he is in my life and to me and what he's doing in my life, and thank God for just allowing me to see one more day, you know. And I want to say good morning to you, Sister Barbara, Brother Lewis, Mike Hawks, Sister Kim Hawks, Brother Frank, Sister Jed, Brother Jermaine, Sister Jerry. Good morning to you, Sister Rita, Sister Rose Brown, Sister Bakruka. I think that's her name. I can't pronounce it. The other day I pronounced it better. Good morning to Sister Fionn, Sister Samoa, Sister Alexis. Good morning to you. Good morning to Mother Anna Leafoot and Sister Angela Foot. Good morning to you. And good morning to Sister Boatwright. Good morning to you this morning. I say good morning to Brother Perry, Brother Hamilton. And that's all I got this morning. I just waking up. We had the day off. We got some of that rain, so it's been real wet. I had a job, so they told us we had a day off today. So I'm just waking up in my early morning right now. So good morning to everybody. Just thank God for coming together. Thank God for, you know, just being able to, you know, hear one another's voice and, you know, get us a laugh in for the day and some spiritual food and, you know, to help us through our week and through the weekend. So, you know, with that, thank God. I thank God, and I'm grateful. And, you know, that's kind of my testimony, I would say. And, I got the chance through the show. I met through a ministry that Brother Frank connected me to. It's called Sons of Thunder. I got a chance to meet Brother. I got a chance to see Brother Ron on Zoom. So now I know what Brother Ron look like. And
okay.
Said a couple words to him last night, and he remember who I was. So, you know, I just thank God for that. You know, thank God for social media. You know, it's good in a way, and in a way it's bad. But, you know, God knows what he was doing when he created the person, whoever who made it. So, you know, we just thank God for that. You know, amen.
Amen. Amen. Sister Rita said, good morning, Brother Anthony. Yeah. We know that people use social media and things, but we use it to spread the good news of Jesus. And Sister Fionn said, good morning as well, Brother Anthony. But we know that we use it for what's good, trying to reach the lost, the unsaved, those who have not made a conscious decision to come to God yet. This is what I use it for. It's my platform to witness, to reach out to others, and, you know, different things. So I'm grateful unto the Lord for it. Without him, I would not be able to do it. And so I am just so thankful that I can reach many in many different places. Yeah. Happy, happy, happy about it. And I'm thankful. I bought a notebook a few years back. And I bought it so that when I go on the road, I could have a way to do the show. And I tried to use it one time, was never able to use it. I said, I said, okay, Lord, I'm good right here. I'm good right here, and I'm going on and keep it, and maybe one day somebody show up who need it, and I'll be able to give it to you. So I was able to get some gadgets and gadgets. Y'all know I love that gadget thing. Now, I love technology, and I love the different things that technology can do. I even got one of those phone holders that you stick on the car window. Got it? Didn't know how to use it, Brother Anthony. My grandmother, and she showed me how to use it. I was like, all this time, I've been trying to stick it to the dashboard, and it would not. She was like, oh, Grandmama, no. echo on the windshield. I was like, okay, now don't get so sassy because you know something, because I know something. I went down with him right after. I said, because I know some things you don't know. And she just looked at me. Don't get all sassy now, because I'll show you what I know that you do not know, little girl. Yeah, God is faithful to us, and he always have a way to bless us. And I'm so thankful unto him today for giving us all what we need. Yeah, and the main thing we need today is him. Hallelujah. Yeah, I needed more today than I needed yesterday, because yesterday is gone, and tomorrow is not promised. And I'm thankful unto him. So today is the 29th. All right, well, I could. Let's see. All right, we're moving right along this morning. Is there anyone else have something they would like to say this morning? Feel free to press that number one and come in today and share with us. And we're going to one more song of the morning. And when we come back, anyone else have anything they would like to say, I will pray us out today, and we'll get out early. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Come on, everybody, get your feet heavy. Let's go, come on.
The love worldwide. www.jesusinthemorningradio.com.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. All right, Sister Samoa, Mona, I'm coming at you right now. Good morning. God bless you. How are you? Okay, now it's coming. How are you?
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm all right. How you doing, Miss Barbara?
I'm good.
Good morning, everyone. All my sisters and brothers and rest of family. Ms. Barbara, you know, I just had to say thank you to God because, like I tell you before, I'm in a different place now. But it's okay. He is my Savior. That's what I want to tell you all. He is sweet. And he heals my body. He refreshes my soul. He fills me up. His love is overflowing. His blessings are overflowing. He forgives. He cleanses. Yes. And guess what? We don't have to worry. You know why? Because he loves us. And I just want to tell him that I love him. I love him. I love him from the bottom of my heart, and I need him. And I'm just going to say hallelujah to love. Because if it wasn't for him, we wouldn't know what love is. And what the other one has to offer, I don't want no part of. I seek his kingdom and his righteousness because that's what he told us to do. He said he told us to trust in him, and I'm trusted in him. And I know he didn't say that the road would be easy. And I know he didn't say that the load would be light, you know. But he did say that if we follow him, that he would ensure that he has a place in his home for us. Yeah. Because he has many rooms, you know, and there's one for us. He did tell us that. And he asked us, he told us to, if we ask that we shall receive, he said that if we seek him, that we shall find him. He's told us that if we knock, that the door will be opened unto us. And then he said, if only thou canst believe, all things are possible with God. Yeah. So I just want to tell him a big thank you. You know, sometimes we look for these big old fancy words and things, but he's just who he is. He don't try to impress us, you know. He's genuine, authentic, and you couldn't put nothing in front of that. So just want to say have a awesome weekend. The weather is getting a little cooler now. And even though things are going on around the world as they are, look at us. Look at all of us. We are still able to come here, you know, and listen and share. You know what I mean? So that's not affecting us like it would affect the person who, just like I'm going to say for me, I used to just worry about every little thing I heard. But I don't anymore, you know, because I guess I'm not being conformed to the world. but I'm being transformed by the renewing of my mind. And it's all right. You know, it's all right. But, yeah, I love you all, and have a great, awesome weekend, you know, and that's it. I really appreciate you, Ms. Barbara. I'm telling you, I do. Look, Mother Barbara, all your little chitlins hanging under you.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. God bless you, Superstar Moore. I can see the growth. Yeah, that's a beautiful thing. And I can hear some joy in your voice, and that's a beautiful thing. Yeah.
That's a beautiful thing.
Yes, sir.
Wait,
go ahead, Sister
Samoa. Even though my daughter's not here anymore, it's like, I don't know what to do, you know, but I do know where she would want me to be. She wouldn't want me to be in a place of despair, hurt, anger, sadness. She would not want me to be there. So, you know, I'm trying, you know, and I'm going to get there. I know, because God did not wake. He did not wake me up just to wake me up. Plenty more people are doing far much more than I'm doing. You understand? So, I thank him. But I know I don't talk much about my daughter, you know, because it gets me in a place, you know. And sometimes it gets other people in places. But I love that little lady to the moon and beyond. You understand? You know, you just have to live where you are. You live where you are. Okay, and that's it, y'all. But I still love y'all.
We love you, too. We love you, too. And God bless you this morning. God bless you. And I do understand about your daughter and your lover. I do understand. Same with mine. But nonetheless, God's will is going to be done. He's going to put any more on us than we can bear. If he knew we couldn't bear it, but because he knows we can bear, he allows it. So we yet can thank
you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. Thank you, Mike. And is there anyone else have something they would like to say? Sister Sion said good morning to you, Sister Simone. And, Brother Louis wrote Matthew 11:30, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Hallelujah. All right, Brother James, I'm coming at you right now, sir. Good morning. God bless you. How are you?
Oh, hey, good morning, Sister Barbara. I'm doing pretty good this morning. I just hopped on hoping you were still on the air, and I heard the music. I was like, okay, I'm going to go ahead and listen to this song all the way through, because I find that the music you pick kind of preaches to us. So I'm very able to get up. Thankful I had another chance to learn something new about the Lord today. I know you out there in Florida, I was reading the news on how they were saying now COVID numbers are extremely low in many parts of Florida. I hate Florida, hates Texas, and kind of all this stuff that we've seen in our country is making some scientists look silly. First they say one thing, and then the opposite seems to happen. It just lets you know God's the one in control, and he's the one that's faithful to us. He's the one that cares about us. I understand you and sister that just spoke. I appreciated her little tribute, testimony, whatever you want to call it, but you start to learn, like, these hospitals and people trying to get you to just take a shot or conform and do what they want you to do, they don't really care about you. Only God does, and the people of God care about you. And when I hear stories like that, it kind of warms my heart to see people still hold on to their faith and find something good in the midst of all the trouble. So I know we have to end the show, so I'm thankful to hear these stories, and I'm thankful God is faithful. can still trust them, even when in the news or the scientists who you can't trust anymore, these stories keep coming out. You don't know. You surprise some of these people not in prison. You don't know who to trust. Some of these stories are horrific coming out. Dr. Fauci, look like he's going to be the next target to be taken down eventually. But, yeah, I'm just praising God that we can trust him this morning.
Yeah. Well, see, this is what I know. The scripture said, trust no man. No man. Don't trust him. And God is the only one that we can truly, fully trust. And I heard that, I read to Brother Anthony, not in Florida, have the lowest in cases with COVID. I was like, overnight this happened. My daughter in Alaska said, Mama, they say we got the highest cases. Yeah, we got that. And look, I try to get her, listen, look, don't believe everything you hear. And there are few things that you even see today. Because it's some foolishness. Everywhere you look, there is some foolishness. And God already told us, don't put your trust in man. See, because man will fail us. It's not that we're against him or we hate Dr. Fauci or whoever his name is. But what we do, I was talking to Brother Anthony. But what we do is we stay in the Word of God. We go back to the Old Testament, take a look around. We strengthen our prayer life. We strengthen our Bible study life. And we keep moving. We keep doing good. This is what God asked us to do. Do good. And he's going to bless us. We don't have it to worry about like everybody else. Because we believe. We believe. And God is always on our side. He's always for us. And his word says, if he loves us, he's more than the whole world against us. So we're holding on to him and keep running this race. And we're running it with patience. Yeah. We're running the race with patience because this is what it takes. Yeah. It takes patience to keep running this race unto my God. And we're grateful unto him. Yeah. And so we thank God this morning, Brother Jermaine. We thank God that he's there for us. Sister Jerry trying to get back in. No, Sister Rita. No, you good. Thank you, ma'am. You are good.
You know, Sister Barbara, yeah. I was going to say, I appreciate what you said, because to me, this whole thing is almost like a spiritual test. You know, we know these things is real, and there's a lot going on, but it's so much confusion. It seems like the whole world, just like the song says, is in derision. Everybody just got this running around like chickens with their heads cut off. And I've had several friends, and now I'm starting to notice a trend, and I'm sure you probably have too. Most of the people now that I hear about catching COVID, you know, not that it's fatal all the time, but they all vaccinated, and they're shocked. And half of them said they wouldn't have never got a shot if they knew they could still catch it. They would have just took their chances. And I said, well, you're shocked because you put your faith in the wrong place. It's not like all medicine is bad, but, you know, these people tell you something, you just start jumping to do what they tell you after they've been caught lying multiple times. So yeah, I appreciate your words, and that's what we got to do, get back in our word.
Yeah, see, Brother Anthony, it's not to watch as well as pray. It's as soon as people say something, even the people of God, they rush out to do whatever. You got to watch as well as pray. And God has taught us to have patience, you see, because if not, we are going to be a part of the problem. My thought was always, if I take what these people are offering me, how do I know in 3 to 5 years I won't be messed up more than I am? I'm already battling with weight loss. I'm already battling with diabetes, pre-diabetes. I'm already battling with blood pressure. I'm, you know, and if I follow what these people are giving me, it may bring on some more issues because it's going anyway. I don't need no extra stuff. So God made me the way that I am. He didn't make me with the diabetes. He did not make me with the blood pressure. But nonetheless, I have it. And I'm going to him for total healing. And he told me, I heal you. But if you keep going back to getting what I heal you from, I can't help you. Yeah. Because it's all up for you. I heal, you go back and get it. I heal you, you go back and get it. So you got to stop going back to get what's making you ill, what's making you sick, what's causing your problems. And you're going to be good. But, yeah, we got to be careful. And we know that everybody is not in God. And, you know, they don't know about him. And they don't know how to trust him because they don't believe. Many don't believe, you know. But those of us that believe, we trust God. And for those of us who put it in our body and we didn't, you know, think, I believe God can remove it from your body. Yeah, that I believe. And so, yeah, we just going on with him in Jesus' name. And it's all right. It's all right. Yeah. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. We're grateful unto him today because he can do all things that we need to have done. He turn it around. He can make it better. Yeah. Let me see what Sister Rita said. I think she said good morning to your brother Jermaine. Okay, I was thinking she did. But no, I think was saying that I called brother Jermaine, brother Anthony. But I think when I said what I said, I think I was talking to brother Anthony. If not, I apologize.
That's all right. Like I know who you talk to.
Yeah. Calling you brother Anthony. Yeah. And so it's all right today in Jesus' name. Where did Nikki say that? I thought I saw her. Maybe she okay. Did she leave? Wait a minute, y'all. I was looking for her. Okay, now she did. Sometimes the computer is more than more. All right, let's see if we can go back up here. Now, okay. Yeah, we good. We good. All right, so I appreciate you calling in, Brother Anthony. I mean, Brother Jermaine. There I go, Sister Rita. I appreciate you calling in.
That's okay.
Okay, and she said she saw a video yesterday from a doctor that was what is it? PFIZER. Meridian. Yeah, Meridian had criminal charges against them, but yet we trust them by taking this vaccine. Yeah,
right.
It's many, boy, and let me tell you, many times if you tell people you didn't get vaccinated yet, oh, you talking about an attitude with you? My doctor got angry. He got angry with me, but this is what I said. You and your wife take it. Yeah, don't worry about me. Give it to your wife. Don't try to give it to me because I'm good. Well, me and my wife took it, and our grandchildren, we didn't give it to them yet because they don't have it for children yet. Well, you and your wife got it. If you got adult children, make sure they get it. And don't try to give it to me as your agent because I don't want it, and I'm not taking it. And I thank God I don't have to. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm grateful unto him. Yeah, because he tried to tell me, but if you don't take it, you won't be able to do this. And what? Well, I just won't be able to do it, Dr. Moshe Reed. I just won't be able to do it. But I'm not going to put this stuff in my body, and then I'll put everything but the kitchen sink in the foolishness. And I'm going to take it. When have the government been so concerned about me? Child, look how long it took me to give people who was in dire straits just a tiny bit of stimulus money. And you believe that these people really care about me? That's why they want me to be vaccinated. I may have been born in the morning, but it wasn't this morning. I was born in the morning. I really was. but it wasn't October 29, 2021. That's been 6 years ago. So you can't give me that. Yeah.
You know what, Sister Barbara?
Go ahead.
I was going to say, see, I could tell you, you see, that I keep noticing the same pattern. Either people, like there was one sister who was talking about it real quick. She has a PhD, and she said the people that are most untrusting are either they have PhDs or they kind of have a street knowledge. And, you know, that includes you. You can tell people that have been around can recognize when something's not right. And not that every single person that got it, something's going to happen to them, but, you know, you just, it's like, when have they been so concerned about people who are unvaccinated when you're supposed to be protected? And if most people have it, you shouldn't be that worried about me. And I get tested weekly at my job, and I laugh. They look at us like we some kind of circus animals. But I said, well, you know, the fact that you can still catch it and you can still spread it, you should be getting tested. Everybody should be getting tested if that's the case. But it makes no sense that they stop testing folks once they get vaccinated, and you're supposed to, and then all these people in shock when they catch something. And also you said blood pressure. The FDA just recalled a medicine because the medicine they think is connected to cancer now, and they're the ones that approved it. And all you got to do is hop online, look at the FDA recalls, and I stopped because it was like 30 pages worth of recalls. So, yeah, 30 pages. And Pfizer, the company that says it's safe and effective, listen for the commercials. That is sponsored by them. So, yeah, it's safe and effective because they're the one paying for it for the commercial. And they paid out more money than any pharmaceutical company, I think, in the history of the world, something like $2.3 billion in lawsuits. So, again, if it's so safe, you know, then you wouldn't be tripping like this off of people who are unvaccinated if you're supposed to be protected. And, you know, that's, I'm not going to, it's not, I know it's not a vaccine show, but to me, this issue has become spiritual, and we're going to be talking about it for a long time now, because a lot of the world feels like you do. And that's not by accident.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I can't just go with just any old thing. I mean, it's been, almost 2 years now. February will be, what, 2 years? I'm so sorry. But I just can't go with it. I refuse to just jump off the boat head first. Because you said it's going to do something for me. No. I thank you, but no thank you. Yeah, no thank you, sir and ma'am. I am good. I appreciate your care, but your care is just not enough for me because, number one, it's not the right kind of caring that I need. So I am good over here without it. And I've seen a lot of police and all kind of people saying we're not taking it, we'll walk off the job. Because my thought is this: no matter what, you are forced to. This is not voluntarily. You're not allowing people to say, "Hey, I want it. Let me get it." But the ones who said they wanted it, give it to them. But you're forcing it to everybody. Somewhere in there, something, it just don't sit right with me. And I'm going to be honest with you. Game, no game. Go to the streets and talk to the street people.
That's right.
Game, no game. So you running game, and the ones who know game going to know you running game. Now, the ones who don't know about gaming, they'll be messed up because they going to receive. But I know game when I hear game, and I'm not interested in your game. I'm just not interested. It's like saying, if you won't wear your raincoat in the rain, mine won't work. The raincoat don't work if you ain't wearing it. You know, because if I take it and I still can catch it, what's the the point in me putting this in my body? I mean, come on, talk to me, make me understand, because if I don't, I can catch it and spread it. If I get the shot, I can catch it and spread it. Why would I go through the trouble of you sticking me and I'm being sick for days and, because you shot it in me. You put it in my body. I have COVID before you put it in. Now I got it. So I'm sick for a while. And then people who want to have children may not be able to have children because they took the vaccine. Now I'm not interested.
Yeah. Game recognized game. That's what we call it out here on the West Coast. You know what? I was going to say, if you watch the Project Veritas, V-E-R-I-T-A-R, that expose they did on COVID with the investigative reporters, that'll answer a lot of your questions. That whole, they did a four-part series that's real short, catching the Pfizer scientist thinking they was talking to pretty women and giving up everything. That explains a lot.
Good. Hold on 1 second. Okay, Sister Jerry, your mic is open.
Good morning, Sister Barbara again. I had to drop off my phone, dropped off, it doesn't matter. I love listening to Brother Jermaine because he brings clarity to some things. If something is really, really good, people try to keep that a secret. If something is mediocre, you're good, they still try to keep that a secret. But if something is experimental, they're going to show you all the goodness and why you need it so bad, because they need you to be my experiment. I remember when I was in fifth grade, we said the hypothesis. We have to have this many to determine if this is this. Right now, the government, and here I go bothering that government again, Homeland Security, help me, is trying to get so many specimens of different age group now. See, they don't have enough children now. So we need to put the children in this group over here. We got 65 and over here. We got 40. We got so many age groups. And then now we got to break them up into their ethnic groups. We better be careful, because no one gives away. My mother always told me there's nothing in life of value that's free. If it's that free and it's that great for you, you're not going to get it. Why do you think they're taking so long to give you the $1,400 stimulus now? If it's something that's valuable, you're not going to get it. That's the only way I know how to tell you to look at it. Food is valuable, and it's sitting out there in the water. Although we have military that can drive trucks, the food is sitting out there. That's needed and valuable. But the shot, all is on the news. Get it, get it, get it, get it. It's good for you, good for you. So if the food is valuable, you can't get it. But the shot is so valuable, and you can get it free. If everything is free, we better watch it, because God says, if life is coming at you so easy, you better watch who's bringing it to you. That's about all I had to say. I just love listening to Brother Jermaine, because he brings a lot of clarity and understanding. And really, we need some understanding, because some of us, and I'm not talking about people, but some of us can't read. Some of us don't read. And I remember Afro-Americans, they did not want you to learn to read. So let's think about that too. If it's so good for you, why am I trying to give it to you for free? Because I believe cure for cancer is valuable. But we don't have anything out there that's so free on cancer. My husband was going through chemotherapy at $400 and some per day. But COVID, this shot is free. Let's just think about that for a minute. Valuable, so valuable, is free. Saving lives like cancer, HIV. I believe when Magic Johnson came out that he had HIV, boy, he was getting those pills. He was getting what most people couldn't afford to get. Why? He's a millionaire, billionaire. Let's just think. All I'm going to ask God for is, Father God, I once was blind. Dear God, give me mercy and please help me to see and understand.
Well, see, that's the key right there. That's the key right there. Come out your flesh, walk in the spirit. See, we give more to the flesh than we do to our spirit man. And see, because a lot of people, like you said, they don't read. Because from slavery up until now, the reading was important, but reading is fundamental. Not only that, reading is instructions, is powerful, is power. But many don't understand that. But if you got God, whether you're reading or not, but you can't just not read now. You got to have God to not read so that he can give you understanding, so that he can speak to you. Danger, Will Smith, danger all around, danger. But if you can't read and you don't have God, you'll go for anything.
Right. But I do enjoy it when Brother Jermaine comes to the show because he gives us something to think about many have not thought about.
Yes, ma'am.
Be wise, not in your own eyes. My God.
Brother Jermaine, Brother Louis says, Project Veritas are truth tellers. He said, I believe we are being set up for the government to control food. And Sister Rita said, with all the 100 of, what she said, she said, why are they mandating companies that have 100 or more employees that they have to mandate their employees to get the vaccine, otherwise they lose their jobs. So tell me the companies that have less than 100 employees will not spread the virus doesn't make sense. I trust God because of this too. You can't fool me. It's just too much to it. It just too much don't add up. And I don't know if it's money owed or what it is, but it's some foolishness, nonsense, and we run out of these people. Ever since I was a girl, we going out, Brother Louis and Apostle Bo. God bless you. Have a wonderful weekend. I was just never one. He said, except the post office is excluded, Brother Louis. But you know, from childhood, I was never one into vaccinations. I can remember going for, I forgot the name of it now, but they put this red stuff on a sugar cube and give it to you, to me, and I had it in my hand, and we walked, my dad took me to get it, and we walked off, and when we walked off, I threw it across the fence, and my dad said, what was that? I said, the thing they gave me back there, with the red stuff on sugar cube. He said, what? I said, I can't take that, Daddy. I said, because I don't know what they're giving me to put in me. I might wake up in the morning and not be me. In other words, I'm just not taking it. And my daddy laughed and looked at me. I said, no, sir. And then later on, I asked him, I said, when you was coming up, were you asked to be vaccinated? He said, no, baby. I said, and you made it. I said, and I think I'll make it too. And I'm 64. So see, and a lot of people, they follow the hype because they want to be a part of this world. See, I'm in the world, but I'm not of the world.
That's right.
And it's all right with me. Whatever the devil try, as long, see, but folks that are not on that straight and narrow and they're not sure, yeah, they have to do some things in the natural. Because, see, spiritually, they're not sure. But I thank God spiritually, my calling and election is sure. And I don't have to worry about man and his tricks and foolishness. I'm not concerned about. Because even to be absent from this body is to be present with Almighty God. I'm not with the foolishness, the nonsense, and all of this. Many say we're Christians, but they have a lot of problems going on because they haven't turned themselves loose yet. They got to know their own way when God clearly says, trust in him with all your heart. That word all is a big, big word. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. He's going to direct your path. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear God and depart from evil. But see, he said, listen, be not wise in your own eyes. Listen what he said. Fear God and depart from evil, because he knew. He knew they weren't going to fear him. They were going to keep walking in them. And they were going to be wise. They were going to know for themselves. That's what got Eve and Adam in trouble in the garden. I'm telling you now, but I know many will understand. But we keep looking to the hills from which cometh our help. We keep praying for the world. We keep praying for the world. Now, who, there are going to be some who allow him to save them, come to him and believe and get a prayer life and a Bible study life and stretch out in him, sell out to him. There are going to be those who don't. We heard the preacher earlier today, I think it was Washer, who said, I'm talking to you. He said, y'all happy, but I'm talking to you. He said, because over half of this room, you say you believe in Jesus, but half of you going to hell. Yeah. But the true believer, that's who's going to be saved. Those who follow God's word to the letter. Not they flesh and they out. Because, see, you trying to save you. You trying to keep you. You can't keep you. I learned that a long time ago. I cannot keep me. He said, if I walk through the valleys of the shadows of death, I don't have to fear no evil. His rod and staff is with me. He even prepared before me in the presence of my enemies. But we don't really love God enough to trust him. And to trust his word, what did I say to him? He's still waiting. Oh, he gone. Oh, I was going to tell Brother Louis bye. I thought I told him bye, but evidently I was running him out. But anyway, we thank God this morning. We know he's able, and we pray for each other, and we keep prayer going, and we trust God, and it's already all right for us. It's already all right for us. Our name is in the Lamb Book of Life. It's already all right for us. I'm good right there. Amen goes right there. So listen, I'm going to pray out with 3 minutes over, and we pray the Lord bring us back Monday morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time for another episode of Jesus in the Morning. If you get time on Monday, stop by Brother Jermaine, because this weekend I'm looking at some stuff, and I want to go to the verse that you talked about. I want to go take a look at that, and then if you stop by on Monday, we'll do some talking again.
Yes, ma'am. All right.
All right, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you this day. Father, we thank you that you are Almighty God who have all power. There's no higher power. Father, the earth is yours, the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. You made us for your pleasure, and we your people. We come today asking for the greatest thing we could ever ask for, which is wisdom. Father, wisdom is a principal thing, and we need your wisdom. Lord, wisdom to know, to allow you to lead and guide us into all truth, to allow your spirit. And Lord, those of us that don't have your spirit, we ask this morning that you would fill us with your spirit, oh God. Fill us with your spirit and give us the ability to allow your spirit to lead and guide us in the right path for your name's sake. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. We give you glory. We give you honor and praise. And as we depart this weekend, Father, bless our going out and our coming in. Meet the need in our lives according to your riches and glory by your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, today, bless your people. They stand in the need of you. And without you, we can do nothing today. We need you, Lord, and we need your guidance. Again, we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen and hallelujah. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we are one from another in the name of Jesus. Go today in love and peace. Share the good news of Jesus and give someone something of quality. God loves a cheerful giver. Have a blessed day. I speak the blessings of Almighty God upon you this weekend, starting October 29th, 2021, in Jesus' name. So at this time, I'm going to say bye-bye and have a blessed weekend.
That the weak say.